Well, this has been great so far. I'm going to try to continue with this theme. Do you want to have a quick word of prayer? Hopefully the Lord will enlighten us and give us his understanding of this, the subject that I'm going to be looking at. Holy God and Father, we come into your presence. We thank you again, Lord, for all your goodness and kindness and mercy to us. We ask that you would continue to be with us this day and help each speaker to be able to say what's on their hearts and minds. And that's what you would enlighten each one that hears your word, and that we might truly understand and know you more from having been here. We ask all these things in our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake.
Amen.
The theme that Mike has picked out is called the Mysteries of Almighty God in the Holy Scriptures. And I was assigned Ephesians 1, 20 to 23. So that's where I want to start. Basically, what I want to be looking at really is this one word. And the word is fullness. In the Greek, it's pleroma. And for those of you who don't know the Greek, like myself, I don't know it very well. I know some of it. It's a Greek word, 4138. That's about all that's been looked at in a lexicon. If a lexicon has numbers, and find that. And then there's another word that I'm going to be looking at. It's 4137, which is pleru, which just goes along with the one. So, Ephesians 1:20. He says, when he raised Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly place, above of all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Which is his body. Make sure everybody sees that, hears that. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. I just can't think of a bigger responsibility and a bigger privilege to be a member of his body.
Amen.
And the fullness of his body. So, like I said, we're just going to be looking at some of these verses that have this word fullness in it. Hopefully we'll understand more about what it means to be part of his body, part of his fullness. Let's go to Colossians 1. And starting at verse 23. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which is preached to every creature which is under heaven, provide Paul and made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ, in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I have made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery of Mysterium, which has been hid from ages and from generations, and is now made manifest to the saints. Jack just brought this up, and I hadn't really heard or thought of it before, the difference in between the ages and the generations. So I've got a new thought that I'm going to take away from here. Trying to understand that more, the difference between one having to do with time and the other one not having to do with time. So we have this mysterion, which was hid by God in ages and generations, but is now made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mysterion among the Gentiles, which is Christ. The King James says in, but I think among is better. Among you, the hope of glory. So this mysterion, it's a Greek word that is transliterated into the English word mystery. It has the idea of hidden, hidden truth that is revealed to the initiates are those to whom he has chosen to know this truth of. His fullness, or that which fills up, his ultimate purpose or plans. So again, that's what we're going to be basically looking at, thinking about, talking about. So if you think about the truth that God has, that he has hidden in himself, but he wants to reveal it to those that are hid. That he has chosen to know. And as Artis said earlier, those that are his, he knows that. That's why he chose them. Because he knew that they would believe, he knew that they would accept, and he knew that they would want to worship him and have that understanding. I think that appreciation of what he has done. Those are others that that will not believe, and that's more or less the way the scriptures say it. They would not. They don't understand this truth. They don't understand this mystery. And they're not going. They haven't been chosen. So we don't have to worry about or be concerned with who understands it and who doesn't. We don't have to be overly concerned with any of that because that's all in the Lord's hands. It's in his business. It's his business to know. I just want to look at some other words that have that word fullness in it. Against the Greek word poroma, Ephesians 1:10. Go back to Ephesians 1:10. He says that in the dispensations of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance and are predestinated according to the purpose of him, the work of all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory.
Yes.
I think it's amazing when you think about God and who he is and what he has and what he does with what he has because of who he is. When we think about that and imagine that he wants to share that glory with us.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
It just overwhelms him.
Yes.
And he does all that because he loves us. That's what motivates him. Because he loves us. 123. Ephesians 123. And I was thinking about this other being that has some power, certainly not the same power of the Lord. But, you know, the enemy doesn't want to share his glory with another. He wants it all for himself. He wants things to happen so that he receives glory. He doesn't want to share this. Our Lord wants to share this. He says, which is his body, and I want you to try to imagine a body, a group of believers with Christ as the head, and that somehow the scriptures say that we fill him up. We add something to him that he wouldn't have if it wasn't the head of his body. And of course, we think in eternity that we will be continuing to lift the Lord up, continue to talk about him and try to bring glory to him. So he says in Ephesians 1:23, which is his body, we automatically, whether we want to or not, as humans, we want to think of it that we're part of his body and that we are his body, and we want to put the emphasis back on ourselves. But in reality, we do much better when we leave the emphasis on him. It's his body. We're just a part of it. And continue to think that in your mind, and I think you're better off. 3:19. Because we have a tendency when we start making things for ourselves, we have a tendency to start getting selfish. Thinking, what's in it for me? But it should always be, what's in it for me? 3:19, he says, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Obviously, there's no way we can. If you can imagine us being a water glass, and imagine him trying to fill the water glass with the ocean, it's not going to hold it. It's not going to contain it. There is too much water in the ocean for us to fit it into the cup. And yet, this verse says, in the noble love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. I just don't see that happening where we're going to actually ever attain that. I keep thinking we're going to continue to be filled, and it's going to continue to overflow. For what the filling is going to be continuous, even in eternity. We're still going to get to know more about Him, and trying to comprehend, as it says in 18, to be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And then to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. One of the things we are trying to do as a group is try to know and understand the Greek language. And the main reason we want to do that is because that's the language that the Lord spoke in. And even though we communicate in American English, we will do ourselves justice if we study and know more about the language of God spoke. So it's one of our goals that we've got out there. And we continually try to seek that. I think it has an idea of this filling. I think we can be filled full when we know more, when we use the very language that the Lord uses. Let's go to Ephesians 4:13. Ephesians 4:13. I'm going to go back just a little bit just to get the context. It says in verse 10, He that descended in this is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, for the readjusting of the saints, the holy ones, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man. I think that's a full or mature or complete man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You've got to read the words and let the words kind of sink into your mind that He wants us to be the perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All that Christ is, and by the way, He's doing this work in us. We are His workmanship, created into good works. So we're not doing this in and of ourselves alone, just through our own study. But rather, we are being filled with Him. He's doing the filling. I like that. I like it. He's put the responsibility on Himself to do this, and not put the responsibility on us.
Amen.
Colossians 1:19. We'll go back to 16. He says, "For by Him," and it says, "we're all things created." But you do better if you put in the word "the," where it says, "For by Him," we can include the word "these," all things created that are in heaven, whether in or visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things, for these all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. He's first in precedence. And by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have a preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. So all the fullness is in the Lord, and yet we're part of His fullness as His body. And He is our head. 2:9. Colossians 2:9. We'll start with verse 8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is," King James has to wish, but in whom fits better, "who is the head of all principality and power. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sinful flesh by the circumcision of Christ, and buried with him in baptism." By the word baptism means to be overwhelmingly identified with it. So whenever we're baptized by him, through him, then we means we're completely overwhelmingly identified with him. And I think as body members, we're completely overwhelmingly identified with the body of Christ.
Amen.
Then he goes on to say, in 13, "And you being dead your sins and the uncircumcision of flesh, have been quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And I just want to go back to some other other references of this. Let's go back to Matthew. What I'm hoping to do, Matthew 9:16, what I'm hoping to do is to be able to see or to read other places where this word is, this word fullness is used, or sometimes rather than being translated as fullness, it's translated as fill. Back in Matthew 9:16. And by the way, there's an article written by Mr. Welch about this, doing the work of a fuller. And what this was a person who... We sometimes have some old clothes, and they're very comfortable, and we don't like when they get holes in them, because we want to continue to wear them, because the rest of the pants for the shirt still have some life left in them. So what these people would do, they would take this material to the fuller. And what he would do, he would prepare it, wherever the hole was, he would prepare some material and then sew it in there. And if he was good at his job, he wouldn't really recognize that this had been repaired. It had been filled up. So what we think about when we try to apply this to the body is that the first thought in the Lord's mind before he created was to think about his body. Well, that particular space was not filled. It's not filled yet. It's being filled.
Amen.
When his body is complete, we will fill up that opening of that space or that position that the Lord had in mind before he started to create. So that's going to be a perfect patch. And whenever we fit in there, he's working with us, he's honing us, he's making us into what he wants us to do, to fill up this patch,
amen,
fill up this hole.
Right.
And so that's what we could sort of see here in Matthew 9:16. And he says, we'll go with 15 first. It says, "And Jesus said unto them," that is his disciples, again, 14, "and the children of the bridechamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse." Basically what that means is you take a brand new piece of cloth and put it with that and sew it into place, it's going to be stronger than everything around it. And so it's going to make it worse than it was when you started. That's not the goal. Mark 2:21. By the way, God is not going to mess this up. It's his body. And this filling work that he does will be perfect.
Amen.
Mark 8:20. Mark 8:20. This is the account where they, for all these first reading. And there's no food. So they're asking the question, how are we going to feed all these people? So it says in verse 17, and when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason you because you have no bread? Receive you not yet, neither understand, have your heart yet hardened, having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear you not? What he's saying is, if somebody among you, which is me, let me take care of this. Let me go on. He says, having eyes see not, and having ears hear ye not, and do ye not remember. When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you have? And they said unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you have? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? He's given them a couple of really good examples of how he worked and how he accomplishes these things. And they saw it with their own eyes. And yet they still had this lack of understanding or this lack of full knowledge. John 1:16. Start with 15, he said, John bear witness of him in Christ, saying, this was he whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. As we heard earlier today, he was I am. He was in the past, he was in the present, he was in the future. And his fullness have all received in grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's what filled it up. That's what really gave the rest of the information. Romans 11. Romans 11, we're going to be looking at 25. And we'll start back in 23. They also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. And so he's talking about this wild olive tree. In order to get this olive tree to grow, they're going to graft in a branch of a wild olive tree. This is going to cause this plant to start to bloom and produce fruit. So it says, they also, if they abide, not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. If thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted in contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So he's referring to the Gentiles and those of the nations, being grafted into this hope, this calling that Israel had. And the purpose of that was to get Israel to get on board, to finally do what he intended them to do, which was to believe in the Lord, accept him, and then take that message out to the rest of the world. Well, they got the message, and they said, hey, this is good, we're going to keep it for ourselves. And they didn't share it. So what he does, he causes this to happen. They miss out on some blessings, and these blessings are given to the nation, are given to the Gentiles. So he says in 25, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mysterion, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. This isn't referring to the body of Christ yet. What it's just referring to is this wild, the Gentiles being grafted in to bring Israel and get Israel to do what he intended her to do all along. So even though we see the word mystery in these verses. So we think about the mystery when we see this, we see it at the end of Romans. In 25, that are ignorant of this mystery. We need to know that there is more than one mystery in the Scriptures, more than one hidden truth. And I think we've been given the privilege to be able to see and to understand what this mystery was, even though it's to the Jews and to the Gentiles it was grafted in. I think we can see why he did it. We also know, as we look back in retrospect, that it didn't work. It did not work. Israel didn't do what they were supposed to do. So to 13:10. Of course, as I look at it now, when we get to the end of the book of Acts, Acts 28:28, we see that he finally divorces Israel, puts her on a shelf, and turns to the Gentiles then. That's without going through. In other words, that calling with Israel was stopped at that time. I believe in the future he'll bring that back. He's still not finished.
Amen. Amen.
Romans 13. 10. Love worketh no death to his enemy. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. We know some people that like to keep the law, the one where you don't work on the Sabbath day. They like that. Unfortunately, they got Sunday inserted for the Sabbath day, which is really sad. But nevertheless,
Gentile
Sabbath. Yeah, Gentile Sabbath. And so we that know the truth, when we look at that, realize that law was not what it was. It was a law given to Moses, and it was for Israel. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's a perfect law. But it's not ours. Therefore, we don't have to keep it. And I don't think we should be spending our time and energy trying to do it. We already know the law was given to prove that these people were sinners, that they needed a Savior. We know that already. So there's no need for us to be wrapped up in that, wrapped up in those things. Because it says here, love is the fulfillment of the law.
Amen.
Romans 15:29. Romans 15:29 says in 28, and therefore I have performed this, and have sealed for them this fruit. I will come by you and sustain you. I am sure that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my servants which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come to you with joy, by the will of God, and may be with you, be refreshed. And then he goes on to say, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. The verse we want to look at 26, so we want to go back to like 23. 1 Corinthians in 23, it says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. And basically what he's saying is, he knows, because of his understanding, that there's lots of things that he could do. Lots of things that he could eat, lots of things that he could drink. There's really nothing wrong with it as long as it's received in thanksgiving. But there are some other people that are there, that if he would take these liberties, there are really nothing wrong with these liberties. They might fall. They may miss the mark. But because of that, he said, I'm going to live my life in such a way that these brethren, these other saints, will not fall. So he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Blessed are the soul and the shambles that eat, asking no questions, for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof. So it's all his. Then going on, he says, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. So the point of it was, is this food could have been sacrificed to idols. And if someone knew that, then they couldn't eat. In reality, it was nothing wrong with food. It was perfectly acceptable to eat. As long as they didn't know where it came from, there wasn't any problem. Because Paul knew and understood, as long as the meat was good, cooked properly, they could eat it. So he says, but if any man say to you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not, for his sake that showed it, and for the conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. So even though there's nothing wrong with it, don't eat it because you may offend someone else. I think we can make some of that application for how we conduct ourselves now. Not in the strictest sense, but I think we who know the truth sometimes can maybe lead someone else astray if we would take a liberty that maybe we shouldn't. So if we think about the other person's position, understanding, I'm thinking about somebody who takes a drink in the presence of a person who's not a alcoholic.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, it doesn't, you could cause the other person to fall back into that alcoholism. So you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't want to participate. Galatians 4. It's going to be in verse 4 is the one I'm going to be getting to, but we're going to start in verse 1. He says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, so you have to imagine here somebody who's going to become a king, but right now they're just a young person who hasn't grown, hasn't learned, hasn't become mature yet. So as long as he's a child, he's still in the learning process, he's still going to school, so to speak, still being educated. He says he differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive the adoption sons. Again, we're not talking about the body here. We're really talking about Israel. So that's what we want. That's what we want to see. Then the next thing we want to look into. How much time do I got out?
1 second. Here.
We're going to start looking at this other word, 41:37. Ed's been teaching us that these words have a form. And so this word 41:38 has a form in this 41:37, which we're going to play with. So Galatians 5:14. It's going to sound very similar, because they came, both these words came from the same what were a form. And so he says here in Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's amazing all the laws and all the rules that are out there. We've got people in Congress that just seem to delight in making more and more and more rules. It seems like that they think they don't have enough rules to keep making more. The scripture says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even as this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I believe that.
Amen.
It's all fulfilled with just that. Having the right attitude. Ephesians 4:10. Talks about the Lord choosing his body. He's the head of that body. And that he's filling it up with his body members. And so it behooves us to try to get all the body members in so that when he appears, which he will appear, I think, when all the body has been assembled, when he appears, we will appear with him in glory. So there's a filling up there that the Lord is doing even now. So Ephesians 4:10 says, he that descended is the same also that descended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. This just seems to be a pattern to me that the Lord is in this business of filling up his purpose. Working his plan, and he made a plan, now he's working the plan. 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So we are to be filled with the Spirit, and one of the recipes or ways getting us to be able to do that or accomplish that is through the Word and through these spiritual songs. Philippians 1:11. Philippians 1:11. I'm going to start with verse 10. He says that you may approve things that are excellent. And how you do that, how you approve things that are excellent, you kind of make comparison. And so you're comparing one thing with another, and you're approving or giving your approval on those things that are excellent. That you might be sincere and without offense for the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. So it's being filled with the fruits of righteousness. That's what they're being filled with. 2:2. Philippians 2:2. Verse 1 says, if there be therefore any consolation, I want you to think of this way. There is. It's a positive affirmation. And we've used the word since. Since there is consolation in Christ, and since there is comfort of love, and since there is fellowship of the Spirit, and since there are vows and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. But not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let this mind, or let this attitude, be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I think that's as far as I want to read there. Let's go to Philippians 4:18. It's going to be 18 and 19 both. These are one of these truths that the older we get, the more history, the more events that we can see the Lord accomplishes his word in us. He says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That word supply is that word being filled. Colossians 1:9. It says, for this cause you also, since the day you heard it, do not cease to pray for me, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, and to walk pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And we want to go to 2:10, Colossians 2:10. It says in verse 9, for in him, that is Christ, as we have in verse 8, dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him. You are filled full to the brim. Colossians 4:17. Says, to say to Agrippa, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. I make that challenge to each and every one of you. The Lord has given each of us a ministry. We need to fill it to the full, or try to accomplish whatever the Lord has given us to do. And finally, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to close.
That I think I'll close, Mike. Thanks, everyone, for staying awake.